Hello and welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This podcast is all about encouraging you to join us on a little walk. Today's guest is a former Blue Peter presenter, an accomplished broadcaster. We're talking Olympics, Wimbledon, London Marathon, Paralympics, World's Ultimate Strongman, and the list goes on. He's also an author and a natural athlete. We'll tap into that. He approaches life with an authentic energy and zest. He's a friend of mine and someone who challenges me, not just physically, but in presence and conversation. Radzi, welcome to the podcast.
That was an amazing intro. Thank you very much. First of all, I apologise for my voice. I've done an 8-day gig and turns out 12 hours of live TV, 4 hours sleep on average, means you sound like a prepubescent Radzi, basically.
Slightly hoarse.
I was hoping for more Barry White, but instead it's just a week. It's like me when I was 14 and the teacher would ask, who knows the answer? And I'd go, me? Oh no, my voice is broken.
Brutal.
Can I ask? You said something really cool then. You said that I challenge you. In what sense?
Boy, he's already flipped the roles.
Okay, sorry, right. I'll shut up.
I thought I was hosting this podcast. First of all, you're not a morning person.
No.
So I have to thank you for being here for 10 a.m. So as someone who, I think it's fair to say, you detest the morning.
True story.
How do you get through them?
Well, I also work for Good Morning Britain sometimes. And that means that I've just got to suck it up. But also, you described me as your friend. And so I thought, okay, fella, for you, I will get out of bed on my day off. But so we did hot yoga. Hot yoga was amazing in the morning.
That was not the morning, Radzi. Post 12 p.m., I consider lunch / afternoon. It was 12:30 and you arrived at 12:33.
I did. I can't lie. But I left my house at about 8. So to me, that was very early.
That is a good friendship. Traveling 3 hours for a hot yoga class.
But it was so good. It genuinely was so good. I've never enjoyed mornings. I've always been a night owl. I'll go to bed at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And that to me is dead normal. And that's kind of what I like. That's when my brain's properly purring. Whereas now I feel like I'm in sludge.
So would you say at night time you come into your element? So working on the snooker last night, is that you in your prime?
100%. Yeah. When you begin to go, Radzi, I've got to go to bed. It's time for me to wind down. That's when my brain's going, brrrr, and we're just getting going. So certain gigs, night gigs, love it. Morning gigs can be tough.
Yeah.
And GMB, getting there for 5 a.m., I've really got to have a word with myself.
What time are you up at when you're on GMB then?
I shouldn't admit this, but I will. So it's a 10-minute taxi from the hotel. So leave at 4:50. I will wake up at 4:42.
No!
That's the truth.
So you've got an 8-minute get ready. Does that involve a shower or?
No shower, night before.
Okay, so no routine. Routine is out the window. It's just maximum sleep.
It's up, teeth, change, out the door. Everything's ironed, everything's ready. We just leave. And those 8 minutes, even that, I could cut it down. I could honestly cut that down.
Let us know when you manage to master the 5-minute get ready. Then I'll be really impressed. I feel like when I used to travel a lot, I would do something similar to maximize sleep.
Did you?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I'd have the clothes like on the floor so I could pretty much roll out of bed into them, grab the snowboard bag, out the door to the airport. Brutal. I think it's fair to say that you are low-key one of the fittest and most determined people I know. I don't think many people know that about you. Why do you keep the rig undercover, Radzi?
Okay. I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever actually said this on camera. So, story time.
I love it.
It was house swimming at school and I was about 16. And basically house swimming meant you were in your trunks, nowhere to hide. So, and because one of my party tricks at the time used to be press ups, I did press ups every day to MTV Base at the time. I put a song on, press ups to failure, next song, same story, next song, same story. And my PB got up to 123. I used to do, I loved them. As a result, I looked all right. And I remember, come house swimming, all of a sudden, girls who did not notice Radzi up until that point, all of a sudden, were talking to me. And I suddenly thought, I don't want people in my life because of something that is what I look like. Oh, I want people in my life that are about who I look like. And I didn't think it in that sort of, quite with that depth when I was 16, but it was that feeling. And so ever since then, even when I work in TV, I think that's for me. How I train and what I do is for me. I don't want the world to be able to decide who I am based on my looks. And I also, when I was trying to be a skeleton bobsled athlete and that didn't work out, I was being hopefully going to have a career based on how my body performed. And in some respects, I sort of hated that because I want to be employed or have a life that's determined by how I think and my brain and what I say rather than what my body's capable of. Because when I'm 40, 50, 60, it's not going to be able to operate at the same capacity as it is now. Whereas hopefully, cerebrally, when I am 40, 50, 60, 70, it will still be there.
That's quite incredible to hear someone of your age recognise and say that, because as we know in modern society and with platforms like Instagram, people essentially sell their product, their souls and their body on the internet to catapult their career. We're talking the likes of people on Love Island. And as we've discussed before, their rigs aren't even that great, right?
Do you know whose is though? Paula Lima. You've had him on this podcast.
I have.
Now, he is a serious creature.
He's a specimen, isn't he?
He is a specimen, that guy. And then if we go up a level, a guy that he'd love is a guy called Harry Akinzariti.
Yeah.
Now, Harry is a sprinter. I could list you his numbers, his front squat, his bench. It's all filthy. He's also his broad jump, his everything about this guy. An absolute animal of a geezer. And so those are guys that I go, now you are serious. But to your point, the Love Island guys, with the exception of a few, they're just guys who like to go to the gym occasionally.
Fair play. Now, you mentioned the Olympics. We actually met at 2018, just after I finished competing.
I remember it.
And you were anchoring for BBC Sport.
Yep.
You had your own breakfast show, of course, your favourite time of day. I remember meeting you there and having, and I still have such fond memories of that experience and you opening my eyes to broadcast, which is the career I'm now pursuing. So you've worked at the Olympics.
Yep.
You mentioned in 2014 you attempted to go to the Olympics yourself.
Yeah.
Your list of accomplishments is so impressive throughout your career. Does the Olympic dream still elude you?
100%. Okay, that's quite an interesting question, because so on the one hand, if you ask me at 5, 6 years old what do I want to be for a job, I'd say I want to be a Blue Peter presenter.
Yes!
But if you'd also asked me, I'd have said I wanted to be Linford Christie. So I wanted to be an Olympic athlete, but I also wanted to be a Blue Peter presenter. And then when I realised I was not nearly fast enough to be Linford Christie, I thought, what other sport could I do? Because for me, the biggest thing on planet Earth, I couldn't give a monkey's about the Oscars or the Tonys or the Emmys. For me, it's about sport. And to me, the absolute pinnacle of all sporting endeavour is the Olympics and being an Olympic champion. And if you're going to be an Olympic champion, you don't just stop there. You try and be the greatest of all time. You try and define an era. So, for me, that is the ultimate. I could lie to you and say being live on air is like being in a sporting arena. Yes, it has parallels, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
It's not quite the same, is it?
No. I used to do long jump once upon a time, and I was working with Greg Rutherford, who is the Olympic long jump champion 2012, I also worked with Amy Williams, the skeleton bobsleigh Olympic champion from 2010. So I said to them both, I said, this is really weird because I'm working with the two people that have achieved my dream. But at the same time, I'm also really, really happy with what I do and where I'm at. But would I like to be an Olympic champion? All day.
Is it something that frequents your mind regularly? Do you ever dare to dream that it would still be possible? Or have you accepted that actually I'm pretty freaking good at this broadcast thing?
Well, as you well know, Amy, sometimes what you do is you take two things you love and you put them together.
Yeah.
So you think, where are the vulnerable medals that you can earn? Maybe I could do curling. Maybe I could do shooting.
I like how you've put curling in a vulnerable category.
Oh, vulnerable, yeah. Because I can't become the Olympic marathon champion. No. That's not going to happen.
Sorry, mate. No chance.
not on my... Oh, wow, what a skyline, by the way.
That is some view. We are currently puffing our way up Primrose Hill, and we can see the Shard, St. Paul's. You got any other landmarks over there, Radzi?
The walkie-talkie building.
We've got
the...
Ooh, the one where Duck and Waffle sits. What's that one called?
Look, you've changed, Fuller.
I have, haven't I?
That is your reference point.
Yeah, I mean, that's because I've been there at like 4 a.m, Radzi.
Whatever. You're a good girl now. Okay, so why is it vulnerable? Because it's a closed action sport that you can do well into your middle years.
Okay.
So Rona, for example, who was a 2002 Olympic
Rona
champion.
Rona Martin, legend.
She won that, I'm going to say she was early 40s. So age isn't the barrier to curling. Whereas sprinting, swimming, gymnastics.
Even snowboarding.
It very much is.
Yeah. So fair to say.
This is, look at the London Eye and everything.
Beautiful.
Wow. I actually came here for one new year and it was rammed. You could not move here. Yeah,
London is special, despite its slightly bleak conditions. On the topic of London and our country, something I know as a friend of yours, but not many people I don't think would know, is it's a funny one, right? So as a sports broadcaster, yourself, myself, we can get shoeboxed and stuck in that space. But you've actually got a passion for politics.
Yes.
How and why did that come about?
Okay, so my granddad...
Can I actually just say one thing?
Please, yeah.
Your eyes lit up more so than anything when I just asked you about that.
Well, okay, the reason is because from a presenter standpoint, you've already thought this interview through and I wasn't expecting us to talk about politics. So the easiest thing to talk about would be everything else.
Full of surprises, Radzi. Full of surprises.
Full of surprises. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
there we go.
I would say, so my granddad lost his leg in the Second World War.
Yeah.
And when he came back to the UK and post-war, the government offered him, the only job they offered him was an opportunity to clean toilets. And that devastated him because he felt like he sacrificed so much for his country and in return they gave him nothing. So his dream was that his children wouldn't have to get their hands dirty. So my mum and her brother, my uncle, that is Uncle Tommy, he went on to work on an oil rig, earned brilliant money, but he did get his hands dirty. My mum's worked in mental health, specifically child and adolescents, all of her life. So she didn't get her hands dirty, but at the same time, far from brilliant money. What's kind of underpinned my story, my mum's story, my granddad's story is helping others, is speaking out for those who can't speak out for themselves.
Yeah.
So for me, that's what politics is at its heart. We can dress it up with the characters, with the EU, no, we must, you know, the virus. We can do that stuff, but...
Any particular reference to Boris there?
No, not at all. Not at all. Lovely bloke. But it's, yeah, there's an opportunity to help people. Where I come from, Wolverhampton, people are struggling, people are skint. Well, there aren't many people in Wolverhampton talking about the people of Wolverhampton. So, yeah, for me, I feel as though it's a passion I've got. It's something I want to move into. I would like to help people. And not just in the sense of, let's talk about it and hashtag a tweet. I mean, actually inflict change.
Okay, so on that, if I was to give you the power of that position,
yes,
what change would you make?
If it was right now, one of the big things for me would be a revolution of the education system.
Okay.
So I'd like all schools to be able to provide free school meals, breakfast, lunch and dinner. I would like and thus try to create a more level playing field for all children. So regardless of the family or the environment you're brought into, you will be taken care of. So okay. There's one concept. Number two, I'd like to look after old people. They've given to this country. In some cases, they've given, like my grandfather had, given his body for this country. I'd like to provide so many services to allow them to thrive, not just survive. There would be massive help, basically, for the underprivileged. And then also, I think one of the big things for me is learning opportunities to learn about life. So I'd love that. I'd love in adult life to be able to have education. For example, to learn about negotiation or learn about how you communicate or mental health or whatever it might be. Because we all say mental health, it's important to talk. Well, talk to who? I'm not in a position to be able to actually therapize somebody. So yeah, there's a myriad of different things which are all fairly boring, but I think they'd have a massive impact on people's lives. I grew up, my mum was on working parents tax benefits or working parents tax credits as it was called, which is a benefit. And that massively helped my mum. If I was 14 right now, I said to my mum, with the cost of living, what would we have done? And she went, Radzi, I don't know what we'd have done. Basically, we could have gone under. And how is this?
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah. And here I am here, working in TV, complaining because I've got an early start or I've done a 12-hour shift. That's why really, although I'd rather have a late shift, please, and do 1 hour or 1 hour a day, the bottom line is I feel very flipping fortunate because this isn't how I started.
Okay, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
What would you describe as the biggest privilege in your current job role?
The biggest privilege is actually simply being in people's living rooms. And I flick on the snooker or the tennis, the athletic, GMB, songs, whatever it might be, and there's a random bloke in my living room, and that's me. And what an honour that is to be able to do that and to shine a light on whatever it is that you're involved with.
Yeah.
And when you turn up with a camera and a crew and you go to a location, you do think, wow, why is my voice so important that it's worthy to be heard by many, many ears? That's really cool. So, yeah, and I do a lot, you know, I get to meet wonderful people a lot, and I do think, my life's all right.
Too right. I definitely agree with you. For me, both in sport and now in broadcast, one of the privileges is the people I get to meet, the conversations I get to have, and actually what I learn from those conversations. So when you asked me earlier, why do you challenge me?
Yeah.
Because you've got a depth of knowledge in a field that I know nothing about. So speaking to you about politics,
yeah,
you break it down and you make it easy to digest. So I'm challenged by you in the sense that you're teaching. You break it down.
Well, thank you. All I would say to that though is, so obviously your good mate Katia is on Strictly.
Yeah.
If somebody were to watch Strictly and I said to them, who was the best dancer? A lot of people say, oh, it was so-and-so or it was the other person. Even though they don't have a choreography background, even though they're not dancers, why? Because they're empowered to have an opinion. Your opinion can change the outcome of this massive thing. So you think, ah, I'm important, I'm significant. I don't know everything, I'm no expert, but that doesn't matter. Whereas in politics, how many people say, oh, I don't feel like I know enough to be able to vote?
Yep.
Or I feel, therefore, the onus is placed on the individual to know. The individual feels diminished, feels ignorant, so chooses to opt out. What's the result of that? As a country, we're easy to lead because not many people are going to turn to the polling stations. And that's like it was 200 years ago when 5% of the population were allowed to vote. So never ever feel as though the issue is with you for not knowing, it's with the system for not empowering you and teaching you about the structure in question.
Solid point.
That, done. Exactly. Lecture
done.
Over.
The end.
End of thesis.
Right, let's get into the gym.
Yes. What now? Bang out a session.
It's a bit early for you, no, Radzi?
No, we would not be. I've had two for the snooker, by the way. I've had two early sessions.
So I know the gym is a big part of your life.
Yeah.
And who you are.
Yeah.
I know you struggled throughout the lockdowns, but it was your saviour. Mentally, How has the gym formed and shaped the structure of who you are?
Huge question.
So love it.
The gym is where I feel that's my sanctuary. And also, weirdly, my dad passed away in 2017. I feel closest to my dad in the gym.
What?
It's really weird.
Deep.
He didn't even go to the gym.
Why?
But I think I feel closest because genetically I feel as though my body is responding in a way that is as a direct result of him. And so it makes me feel very much like his son when I'm in there. And yeah, the gym keeps me sane. It's a place where I don't really think about other stuff. All I think about is putting on big tunes and lifting what I would call, for me, big weights and challenging myself. I'm going to hit this number today. I'm going to do X sets, X amount, X recovery, off to the races. And I flipping love it. I absolutely don't love leg sessions. I love everything else though.
I like legs. How do you install discipline with the routine of life? You travel a lot for work. You're in strange countries, different locations, small gyms, big gyms. How do you stay on the pulse with that?
Okay, so I once did a film. I'm not even going to tell you what film, for Blue Peter. Otherwise, somebody might Google it.
This is the best story ever. I know this one.
But basically, I wasn't wearing a lot in this film. And I'd had 3 months of of service station lifestyle.
Eating burgers.
Burgers. And McDonald's and everything in between. And basically, my mate texted me after the film went out and just said, not meaning to insult me, oh, I didn't know you stopped training. And it was stabbed to the heart. And I thought, right, overnight, that's it. It's all changing. No more chai tea lattes, green tea. No more crisps on the road, almonds. And so for me, I'm basically too vain to stop doing it. Because I think, we ain't going back to there. That's bad. And also, I love when I feel like I'm close to my physical optimum.
Yeah.
And the last 8 days, I haven't had access to a great gym, but I'd rather show up and do something than nothing. Yeah. And that will keep me from going beneath zero. And my diet is pretty atrocious at times. That's fine. I feel you can out-train a bad diet.
Do you genuinely believe that?
If you train hard enough, yeah. So if you look at someone like, you show me an elite marathon runner who's fat, impossible.
Yeah,
you
true.
Show me Foxy or somebody else, former special forces, all these guys, they're beasting themselves.
And they put away a serious amount of food.
There you go. Now, I'm not trying to be a professional bodybuilder. It's not like I'm trying to be an elite athlete. If I was, then I'd have to address that. But I think you've got to give yourself some concessions. Also, life's too short.
Right, what are we concessioning on, Radzi?
Cadbury's Fruit and Nut. Cadbury's Twirl.
Oh, he's a Cadbury's fan.
Cadbury's Whisper.
Chocoholic.
Formerly Cadbury's Fuse. Very much a chocoholic. If it's a drink, it would be matcha latte, which actually isn't bad for you.
Yeah.
Or, what is a bit worse for you, is chai tea latte.
Okay.
But it's so sweet and delicious.
Nice.
We're going to go pancakes with maple syrup.
Yes.
Blueberries, which aren't bad for you at all.
Great, great when you're out in the States working then.
It's
fuel,
IHOP,
right?
IHOP numero uno.
Right, seriously, no messing with you.
No.
When you're in, you're in.
Correct, in every sense. If it's sweet, I'm getting stuck in. Right, if you're gonna have a meal,
yeah.
3 courses,
yeah.
I think, I don't see the point of a starter. I'd rather go main, double, dessert.
Oh no, see, I disagree. I'd rather go double main and dessert.
You could go double.
Of course I could. I'd take it down. You mentioned the feeling. You didn't tap into the feeling.
Okay.
Post-session.
Yes.
So for those people that might be struggling with motivation.
Yep.
And then want to turn their new year around.
Yep.
How would you describe the feeling, which I can relate to, is addictive post-workout?
You know what it is for me? It's not so much the feeling after a workout, it's the feeling of achieving mini goals.
Okay.
So if I say I've got, I'm benching, and on the bar is, say, 90 kilos, and I want to hit two sets of 10 with it. And the first set is as ropey as you like. I just crush out the 10 reps, and I'm really not sure if I'm going to hit the second set. And I unrack the bar, and I go down, I'm on rep 4, and it's, but I'm gonna dig deep. I'm gonna lock out at 8 reps, and I'm not even sure if the bar's gonna come off my chest. If I hit that number 10 for my 2 reps, it's yes, because that's what I set out to do, and that's what I managed to do, especially when I didn't think it was possible. And so for me, the equivalent would be, a mate of mine was talking about losing weight. He said, I'm gonna start tomorrow. It was 1 a.m. because we chat at 1 a.m. So I said, mate, put your shoes on now, go for a walk. On the phone, I'll stay with you on the phone. So he went for a walk, and I said, well, just do 3 minutes. I knew he was not going to do 3 minutes. I knew he'd do more than that.
Of course.
He ended up doing 25 minutes of a walk. We came back to the kitchen. I said, right, put 25 minutes on the fridge door. I said, bosh, you've started.
I said,
so at the end of the week, let's add up all the minutes of stuff that you've done. Doesn't matter what it is, but you've done it. So it's not about, I missed a day. No, that's looking at the negatives. Let's look at the positives. How much have you done? So it's that micro challenge. Okay, I went out and I did 25 minutes, or I hit X amount on the bench press. So for me, it's not so much a feeling as more smash. I looked to do it, I did it. And if I didn't do it, if I hit set of 10 and then set of 8 or set of 9, set of 7, that's fine. But my next session will be, so if I hit 9 and 7, I will improve that by 1 rep. So it's gonna be 10-7 or 9-8, or better still, 10-10. But so that's the new, we've recalibrated. That's what we're now getting after. So I flipped.
So you're all for mass mini goal setting,
100,
essentially.
100.
Just chipping away at the blocks.
Because we can't do it in the world that we work in.
So exactly.
This world of TV, you know, flavor of the month, here today, gone tomorrow, we don't know what's around the corner. Whereas the gym, never lets you down. The numbers don't lie.
Yes, Radzi. We always have to ask our guests on this podcast what their relationship is like with Monday, the start of the week. It's Monday today. We did start our walk at 10 a.m. How do you feel about a Monday?
Monday's an interesting one because Monday to me is like the morning in the day. It's the morning of the week.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a Friday, Saturday boy, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But Monday kind of means we go again.
Yeah.
And there's also a feeling of, I guess, a bit of gratitude, actually, because I don't really have much of a schedule, much of a routine. Not a lot's guaranteed in my life from a professional standpoint. But Monday is a chance. Off we go again. And what a joy that is, like a mini new year. It's a chance to go again. And not everyone has that chance. So actually, yeah, I'll look at a Monday and go, right, Radzi, let's go. Let's try and do it better than last week.
Freaking love that. Let's take that chance. Monday Mile listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Radzi, thank you for coming on
thank
the podcast.
You. I'm off the bed.
Getting up early. Are you not off on the train?
I'm off on the train to the West Mids, and I might have a cheeky nap on the sofa, I'm not gonna lie to you.
And then straight to the gym, right?
And then to the gym, yes, get the goals, get them gains.
To those people that are tuning into the audio, please do make sure that you do subscribe, and the audio will be dropping at 12 a.m. every single Monday. Monday Mile listeners, it's a wrap.